Well, not so humorous. Liberal MP Julia Banks has broken her silence on her previous allegations of bullying and intimidation towards female MPs during last month's leadership spill. She stood in the House of Reps last night and said it's time to take a stand against bullies and standover tactics.
Appalling behaviour is an umbrella descriptor for bullying, intimidation, harassment, sexual or otherwise, or a lack of integrity. In my political journey, a culture of appalling behaviour has been widespread, pervasive and undermining, like white ants.
That's MP Julia Banks, and in that speech she also called for the Liberal Party to adopt formal quotas to boost female representation in their ranks. While the Prime Minister's been working hard to close down this damaging debate this week, he's also been forced to assure key crossbenchers who are keeping his minority government in power that he won't, amongst other things, be dumping the renewable energy target. Cathy McGowan is the independent member for the seat of Indi in Victoria, and she joins me in the Parliament House studios. Cathy McGowan, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks. Good morning, Fran.
I know you're concerned about energy, and I'm going to come to that in a moment, but if we could just deal with the comments from Julia Banks we heard there, reinforcing her earlier claims of bullying and intimidation. She says it's widespread and pervasive, and she said it's been cumulative from the beginning of her political journey, and it's not confined to the Liberal Party. From your perspective and experience as an independent, is there a culture of appalling behaviour in the Parliament that needs to be called out?
Let's separate the appalling behaviour from the gender for a bit. I think there's not a member of my community who comes to Parliament who thinks Question Time is anything other than a horror show. So I think for many of my community who experience Question Time, and clearly it's only 1 hour of a 13-hour day, they don't like it. They don't like the disrespect, they don't like the yelling over each other, and they don't like the general, if that's the best we've got in the nation, what does it look like? And I think we could do a lot to pick up many of the things that the English Parliament or the United Kingdom Parliament does to make our Question Time more respectful. So having said that first, I think that's a really obvious, easy place to work. Now, I don't know much about the Liberal Party, the Labor Party or the National Party, how they work. And I would always believe a woman who tells me she's being bullied. You don't make that up. And this year we've had an enormous amount of conversation in public about different women members of Parliament, the Michaela Cash discussion, the experience with Barnaby Joyce, the bonking ban. There's been a huge amount of let's have a go at the gender argument. And I don't think it's been respectful. I don't think it's been anybody standing up and saying, look, we might have a problem here. Let's work out how we might do a problem. We've had an argument about, do we have a problem? So I think we need to move the discussion. There's something obviously going on. It needs to change. And let's get some very clever, good people in to work out what needs to happen.
And what about women's representation in that place? If you're a member of the Liberal Party, would you be arguing for quotas?
So I'm... One of the things that's happened with this huge disruption in the government over the past 2 weeks is it shows that there's real problems with decision making. How does the Liberal Party, how the coalition makes decisions? So one of the playouts is the gender argument that we're having, but they've got a much bigger problem they need to solve. But let's just talk about quotas. The government itself has set a target of 50% of women on their boards, on all government boards, and they haven't reached it. And I don't see the strategy in place to help them reach it. So if the government can't actually do it on the boards it's got control over, saying quotas, I think the change has got to be much, much, much greater than that. And I just point out to the Liberal Party what Joan Kerner did in the Labor Party. Joan Kerner knew they had a problem, and she and her group of people came up with a whole of party strategy that does culture, that does representation, it does money, it does mentoring. And together, you look at the party now and you see the change that's happened.
Okay, let's go to the issue of energy policy, because you're consumed with this at the moment. You met the Prime Minister, I understand, this week. The National Energy Guarantee is dead. The Prime Minister's announced that. You want to know what's going to replace it. What assurances did Scott Morrison give you about his plan to reduce emissions?
So, no assurances to date. A discussion with him that, from my perspective in Northeast Victoria, and I know regional Australia, you can't take the people of a country on a journey around the NEG, which we had all been on a journey and said, here's what the NEG looks like. I'd been working with the Malcolm Turnbull and Josh Frydenberg as a crossbench getting the support for the NEG. You can't just say it's dead without having anything in its place. Because, or you can say it, which is what the government's done, but you leave a huge vacuum. So generally speaking, well, not generally speaking, my community is saying we absolutely need prices attended to. The price of gas, the price of electricity in regional Victoria is far too high. What are you going to do about it? What's your strategy?
Well, the government's completely focused on price, and that's separate to emissions. And the Prime Minister says, as I'm sure you know, that he's confident Australia will meet its Paris commitments on emissions at a canter. And the government has its existing policies in place to do that, the Emissions Reduction Fund, the RET. Are you confident that that will be enough?
So my community, and particularly if I could talk about what's happening in a small community of Yakandanda, population 1,200, where 50% of the community now have solar panels. We've got we're doing trials on setting up microgrids where we share electricity between houses. And I'm saying to Scott, these are not one or the other. We can look at price, we can look at emissions tradings, and we can look at sustainability. And if you put the other value on top of it, we can work with communities to actually help them understand what's going on. At the moment, people are feeling really powerless. And I'm saying, let's step back a bit, go with the NEG and go with this the template we're running in rural Victoria, because there's so many lessons there that could really work for your government.
Well, the NEG is dead, so I think you've lost that argument. But in terms of the Yakandanda project, its aim is to achieve, as I understand it, something called energy sovereignty by 2022, which I guess is self-explanatory in this tiny town. Can it be scaled up, that notion of energy sovereignty?
So that's some of the work that I'm doing within my electorate of Indi, which is rich in sun and water. So we're talking about a totally renewable Indi. We've got at least 30 groups across the whole community who are working to do energy environmental work, but coming together under the umbrella of the electorate to see how we can do that. So it's community sharing information. And I'm absolutely sure that we can scale it up. Yesterday we had meetings with AusNet Services and Mondo, and they are in Canberra, and we were talking about how a whole of community or geographical area or regional Australia, with the support of government and the electricity generators and distributors, can actually work together to do this much more creatively.
And was Scott Morrison interested in backing that?
So I asked him the question at question time, and I think I got a bit of a fluff of an answer. The conversation will continue with both the Energy Minister and the Environment Minister, and definitely next time I'm seeing the Regional Development Minister, and also Scott will continue the conversation.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 16 minutes to 8. Our guest is Cathy McGowan. She's the independent member for Indi, and at the moment, Parliament, the numbers are at a rather perilous state in the Parliament. The government's technically in minority while it waits the outcome of the Wentworth by-election. The crossbench is key in this scenario. Cathy McGowan, you've guaranteed Scott Morrison that you won't support a no-confidence motion while the Wentworth by-election is in play. We now have a date for that poll, October the 20th. What about after the by-election if the Liberal Party should lose Wentworth? What will you guarantee?
Oh, so it all depends. There's two parts of this discussion that I'm having with both my constituency and with the Prime Minister. The first one is there's a real want by my community for fixed terms of Parliament, so that government, when elected, goes its full term. So, and I think generally speaking throughout Australia, people want that. So after we had the debacle of a couple of weeks ago, there was a push in my electorate to call an election. But the overarching feeling was, can't they get their act together? They only had 4, 5, 6 months to go. Let them see their term out and we will then deliver the decision. So that's my predominant feeling, is that good government, get the ship turned around, do your next 6 months, have an election and let the people decide. So that's my overarching want of good government. But given the chaos that was in the system a couple of weeks ago, given the next month for Scott Morrison and his team to settle down and show that they can get the ship going again, and then let's see what happened with Wentworth. If there's an independent returned or Labor returned or a government person returned, then I'll renegotiate with the Prime Minister at that time.
And what about issue by issue? I mean, there will be a no-confidence motion in Peter Dutton almost certainly around the au pair affair. I mean, are you troubled by this?
this week, the 4 days of this week have been intensely busy for the crossbench. Every single piece of legislation we've negotiated on, we've spoken to Labor, we've spoken to government, we've developed really good relationships with all the new ministers, and we will continue to do that for the next sitting week of Parliament. And saying to the people of Australia, you've got a fantastic group of crossbenchers in the House who take this role so seriously. We talk to each other, we talk to Labor, we talk to everybody that we can, and then we make a decision on the issues. And sometimes if it gets really political and we lose the substance in the debate, Rebecca Sharkey and I, once this week, we abstained from voting because it had moved into the absurdity of politics and we stopped arguing about the actual motion that we were dealing with. But generally speaking, that's not what we do. We vote on the issue.
Cathy McGowan, thank you very much for joining us. Cathy McGowan is the independent member for Indi.